This afternoon we focus on Lord's Day 44 of the Heidelberg Catechism concerning the 10th commandment, and in preparation for reading our text we read two passages from God's Word. We first turn to Genesis chapter 3 and we read verse 1 through 6. Our focus in these verses especially is verse 6, the word desirable, which we will also see comes in Psalm 19 and also is the same word for the word covet in the 10th commandment. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Let's also then turn to Psalm 19. We see in Genesis 3 that the woman desired something that God had forbidden her to have. In Psalm 19, especially verse 10, the psalmist praises God that his desire, the same word there used in Genesis 3 and also for covet, the 10th commandment, would be for God's word. Let us read together Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Let us turn to our text for this afternoon, Lord's Day 44. Lord's Day 44 concerns the 10th commandment: "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And here the church confesses concerning the 10th commandment, what does the 10th commandment require of us? That not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any of God's commandments should ever arise in our hearts. Rather, with all our hearts, we should always hate all sin and delight in all righteousness. But can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No. In this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with earnest purpose, they do begin to live not only according to some, but to all the commandments of God. If in this life no one can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, why does God have them preached so strictly? First, so that throughout our life we may more and more become aware of our sinful nature and therefore seek more eagerly the forgiveness of sins and righteousness of Christ. Second, so that while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may never stop striving to be renewed more and more after God's image until after this life we reach the goal of perfection. So far from the reading of God's word and also the summary of God's word. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, the 10th commandment is different than the other 9, in that while the previous 9 commandments clearly forbid certain behaviours and actions, for example, making a graven image, and how we used a Sunday, killing, adultery, stealing, lying, the 10th commandment goes to our very hearts, thoughts, and desires. The first nine commandments, there's a clear emphasis on outward action and behavior. But obeying the law is much more than just externals. It's about the heart. And what sets this commandment apart from the other 9 is its focus on the desires of our heart. Now, it's true that the previous Lord's Days have spoken about desires. For example, in regards to the 6th commandment, 7th commandment, that we should not desire revenge, that God forbids all unchaste thoughts and gestures, and thoughts, words and desires. But the 10th commandment especially hones in on the desires of the heart. Now, while Adam and Eve were created with the desire for true righteousness and holiness, they could also desire what God forbade. We see that their sinful desires leads to their physical and their spiritual death. And throughout the Bible, we see that repeated. Whenever God's people give in to desires that God forbids, the result is always the same: misery, ruin, and death. And yet, God the Father, he requires hearts that love him, that desire righteousness and holiness, hearts that would live with him to praise and glorify him in eternal blessedness. And so he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to have perfect desires for his Father's will, to live in righteousness and holiness, so that throughout his whole life and his death, our hearts would be set free from the power and the reign of evil desires. And now by the Holy Spirit that he so graciously gives to us, he renews our hearts to be conformed to righteousness and holiness, so that our desires might once again reflect the desires of our Father, the desire to love him, to enjoy him, to live with him, to dwell with him as our Father also desires to live and dwell with his children in righteousness and holiness. And so this afternoon we may consider the 10th commandment under the following theme: God's children confess to keep the commandments with all their heart. And we'll see, firstly, the Father requires our heart. Secondly, the Son redeems our heart. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit renews our hearts. Now, the 10th commandment exclusively focuses on the heart and the thoughts and depths of our being, and that is clearly reflected in our confession. And this doesn't mean we cannot have desires at all. There are some religions, like Buddhism, for example, that teach we need to suppress our desires to become free from this world. But we were created with desires. We read in the Bible that God himself has desires. For example, we read in Job 23, verse 13, that the Lord does what he desires and pleases him. But he is unchangeable. And who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. We also read in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, that God desires the death, does not desire the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their ways and live. And we see this teaching also in the New Testament as well. We read that God does according to his own good pleasure, another way of saying that he does what he desires. And because Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, they too were also created with desires. Think of Lord's Day 3, that they were created to heartily love God. That surely speaks of a desire to live with him in eternal blessedness. And God desired the love and affection of his children. He created them to be able to love him with all their heart and soul and mind and their strength. And so desires themselves, beloved, are not evil. It's when those desires are evil, is what God forbids. And so desires themselves are not the problem, since we are created with them. It is that desires can be sinful. And we see this in Scripture, first referring to the devil. We read about the fall of Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14. It's said there that he set... In chapter 14, it says that he said in his heart, speaking of the desires and thoughts of the devil, that he said in his heart he would ascend into heaven. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan's desire was to exalt himself above God. And this led to his fall and being cast out of heaven. And we see that Satan's desire to be like the Most High, to exalt himself above the heavens, that was the temptation that he came to Adam and Eve with in the garden. He said, you will be like God. And we see there that when the woman hears the temptation, when she sees the fruit, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. And that word desirable used there in verse 6, that is the same word that is used, the same Hebrew word that is used in Exodus and Deuteronomy to speak of the 10th commandment. Moses, the inspired author, under the Holy Spirit, speaks to the very first sin of man as a sin of coveting, the 10th commandment. But notice that it is the desire that leads her to take the fruit and eat. It is true that Eve sinned when she took the fruit and when she ate it, but the sin already had started in her heart when she desired it, when she desired what God had forbidden. And so we see the 10th commandment is a matter of the heart. It's about desires and thoughts of our heart. And because of Adam and Eve falling into their sinful desires, the whole human race had been plunged into a world of coveting, of sinful cravings and evil desires, as Jesus speaks about in Mark chapter 7. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries and fornications, murders, thefts and covetousness, wickedness, deceit and lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. The desires of the heart leads to sinful and evil behaviors and practices, as the Lord Jesus said. From within, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. We see this throughout the Old Testament and in Scripture. We see how in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, Achan coveted the spoils of Jericho, and it led him to taking a Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, because he coveted them. He took them. And that word, once again, that same Hebrew word, that word covet, is used in the 10th commandment in Exodus and Deuteronomy, as well as in Genesis 3, verse 6. When Achan's taking was produced from first a desire for that. We read that the sinful desires lead to sinful actions and behaviors also in Numbers chapter 11. We read about how the mixed multitude who were among the people of Israel yielded into intense craving. And once again, that word craving is the same word that's used in the 10th commandment for coveting. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we had in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks, the onions and the garlics. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." And Israel were warned against desiring and coveting, because it would lead them to a heart that turns away from the Lord. And all these instances reflect the broader teaching of Scripture, that sinful desires on the heart, they bring forth and they lead to evil behaviors and practices, which eventually bring forth death. We read about this in James chapter 1, verse 15. "After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." And so evil desires, craving, desiring that which God forbids, it always has the same result: death and ruin and misery. Because of Adam and Eve giving in to their sinful desires, which God had forbidden, they died physically and also spiritually. In Numbers 11, Israel gave in to their intense cravings for meat. And at the end of that chapter, we read that many of them died. This also happened to Achan as well. He confessed to his sin, which caused the death of many in Israel at the defeat of Ai, and not to mention the death of his own family. Think of David, who coveted his neighbor's wife. And God said that his son would die. Think of Ahab coveting his neighbor's vineyard, Naboth. And Elijah said that it was upon that land that the dogs would lick Ahab's blood. And think of Gehazi. He coveted the gifts from Naaman, and he gained Naaman's leprosy, a picture of death in the Old Testament. And so that is a strong warning for God's people today, beloved. When we desire what God forbids, the Scriptures are clear. It brings forth ruin and misery and death. And many of us have experienced that. Many of us have experienced misery and brokenness in this life because we desired that which God forbade, what was not righteous, what was not holy. Many need to live with these consequences. We see many being led astray by evil desires, and they always have the same results. There's hurt and brokenness and pain, ruin and misery. And every day we need to fight against that struggle, against a temptation to give in to our own evil desires. Desires that promise so much, but deliver only misery and death. And yet, beloved, God still requires hearts that have a desire for Him, that love Him as He created them to be in Adam and Eve. And He has taken steps to ensure that we can be free from sinful desires and that we can have righteous and holy desires once again. And we see this in our second point. We see this in the work of the Son, how He has redeemed our hearts. Answer 114 reads that even the holiest only have a small beginning of disobedience, and that with earnest purpose they do begin to live not only according to some but all the commandments of God. And on the one hand, this points out our enduring shortcomings and weaknesses. And as God's children, even the holiest have only a small beginning of the perfect obedience that God requires. And this could cause doubt and uncertainty in our own minds about whether we should even try or even begin to live righteously and holy. But we should see in these words, brothers and sisters, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who is our flesh and our blood. He whose desires were always holy. How He was always obedient to the will of His Father in heaven. God had promised to Israel already in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 31, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And we see the Lord Jesus in the New Testament during His earthly ministry. We see Him living a life where His only desire was to do what pleased His Father in heaven, even under the temptations of the evil one. When the Lord Jesus began His ministry on earth, He was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where He was tempted by the devil. And in these three temptations, beloved, recorded in Matthew, the devil appealed to His human desires. The first temptation appealed to His hunger by tempting Him to turn stone into bread. A second temptation, an appeal also to His feelings of self-worth as a son and a child of God. "Throw yourself down, for God will send His angels to catch you and have charge over you." The third temptation, receiving the kingdoms of the world if He bowed down to the devil, appealed to His human desire for power. But Christ answered each and every temptation the same way, with the Word of God. He turned to the Word. He used the Word. In this way, the Lord Jesus, He hated all sin. He delighted in all righteousness, for His delight was in the law of the Lord. And He always did what pleased His Father. So that He could say in John chapter 8, verse 29, "And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please Him." I always do the things that please Him. And that word "please" there is the same word used for the word "desiring" and "coveting" in the Old Testament too. Jesus always desired that which was in line with His Father's will. And every desire of the Lord Jesus was righteous and holy and perfect, perfectly in line with the desires of the will of His Father in heaven. And yet He died. He went to the grave so that He would deliver us from the power of sinful and corrupt desires. We confess that in question and answer 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we confess that through Christ's death, our old nature is crucified. Our old nature crucified, put to death, buried with Him. So that what? So that the evil desires of the flesh may no longer reign in us. evil desires, giving into cravings that God forbids, they lead to the grave. They lead to death, to ruin, and to destruction. But Jesus' death, crucified on the cross, is the crucifixion of our old nature, our sinful desires. He has overcome the power of Satan. And in Christ, we receive the forgiveness of sins. But it also means that something happened at the cross. That he destroyed the power of sinful desires that our hearts are inclined to because of the fall into sin in Adam and Eve. And now we need to reckon in our minds and in our hearts that at the cross, my sinful nature is destroyed. Those evil desires have been overcome through the perfect and righteous life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in Christ and by His Spirit, I am alive to righteousness. Alive to holiness through Christ. And He then gives the Holy Spirit, His children, this gift of the Spirit to renew their hearts, to live out of the cross, to live out of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done, to transform our minds and our hearts. And we see this in the work of the Spirit in our third point. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ, He used the Word to overcome the temptations of the evil one. The devil appealed to his human desires, and yet Jesus Christ appealed to the Word of God. And that is why the Catechism speaks about the need for strict preaching, preaching from the Word of the Lord. This is how the Lord Jesus taught. This was how the apostles taught. We've seen how strict some of Paul's preaching has been to the Ephesians, how he commands them to put off the old man and put on the new man, that we have to use our mouths to speak the truth in love and edifying one another, that we have to put away all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking. He speaks strictly about how no fornicators and sexually immoral persons or covetous persons shall inherit the kingdom of God. And his preaching raises the bar to perfection, to righteousness and holiness. The righteousness and holiness that Adam and Eve were originally created in. And so the preaching is also calling us there, beloved, to put off the old nature, to put on the new nature of righteousness and holiness that we've received in Jesus Christ. The form of baptism speaks about this as a new obedience where we cling to God, where we trust in Him, where we love Him, to forsake the world. And think also of the form of the celebration of supper. It speaks about our conscience and our sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with our entire life, laying aside all enmity and hatred and envy to live with our neighbor in true love and unity. And we read about these renewed desires in question and answer 81. Speaking about those who may come to the table of the Lord, those who desire more and more to strengthen their faith and to amend their life. And do you have that desire, beloved? It is a new desire worked by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, God promises to write this upon your hearts. And is it there? Is there a sincere desire to have an earnest purpose to live according to not only some, but all the commandments of God? Not just outwardly, but inwardly too. Sometimes it can look like outwardly we are keeping all the commandments and not breaking any of them, but what about inwardly in our hearts and in our thoughts and our desires? There too the Spirit is working to transform also our hearts and our thoughts and our inner being, to think God's thoughts after Him. Thoughts of righteousness and holiness and truth. And the Spirit does this through the Word, beloved. And that is why we need to be busy with the Word, and that was why we also read from Psalm 19. Through the preaching and reading of God's Word, the Holy Spirit, He makes us more and more aware of our sinful nature, says Psalm 19. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. And we read the law of the Lord makes the wise, makes the simple wise. It enlightens the eyes. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. So by his word, he is transforming the hearts of his people. The Spirit also makes us desire the word. Think of Psalm 19, verse 10. God's word is to be desired more than honey, more than the honeycomb. And that same word desire there is used also to speak in the 10th commandment of coveting. When we think of the word covet, we generally associate that with evil things, with wrong things. You shall not covet, but God wants us to covet his word, to desire his word, to crave after his word, because through his word, the Spirit is transforming his people. As the Catechism speaks, into the image of God, the righteousness and holiness that we were created to be in Adam and Eve. According to Jewish tradition, beloved, when young Jewish children, when they were being learnt about God's law, when they were taught God's law, they would eat sweets. For example, if you were learning the Ten Commandments and you had the Ten Commandments listed on your tablet in front of you, or on your parchment, on top of each of the commandments, there would be a sweet cake. And so these Jewish children, they would eat the sweet cake, and then they would read the first commandment. They eat the second sweet cake and read the second commandment. And so working through the Ten Commandments, they were being taught, stimulating their senses of the sweetness of God's law. But of course, beloved, that sweetness, that physical sweetness of eating a cake or eating honey, that is something external and outward. But the Holy Spirit, he changes our hearts to desire God's word, so that God's word is sweet to us. It's a desire for us to keep it. It's a joy and a love to do God's will and his ways. And that is what the Spirit is doing for God's people. And it's true that we often feel so weak and unworthy about this, and we struggle with this, to truly desire God's word. It's easy to be driven by sinful desires and to give in to intense cravings. And Christians and believers, they are not immune to covetousness. We think of Israel in the wilderness. They had given God's word and God's law. They had even received, God's Spirit was dwelling amongst them. They had received the ministry of the gospel through the temple, through the tabernacle and priestly ministry. And just as in the wilderness, Israel longed to return to the footsteps of Egypt, even being in the very presence of God himself and receiving his law, and yet still some of them longed for the footsteps of Egypt, some of them dissatisfied with what God had done for them and given to them. So too the believers today can face perpetual struggles between a lifestyle led by the Spirit and a lifestyle led by the flesh. But God still requires your heart. And thanks be to him, he has made that possible by redeeming your hearts in Christ and now renews that by the Holy Spirit, because he dwells with his people. He dwells with his children. That is a clear teaching in the New Testament. It is how he is transforming his children into righteousness and holiness by dwelling with them by his Spirit. We see that in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22, he has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Galatians 4, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is the prayer of the apostle for these Ephesians. And that it also needs to be our prayer, beloved. It needs to be our prayer to ask God to do this in our lives. To do what he has promised to do as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why answer 115 says, while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may never stop striving to be renewed more and more after God's image. And that's why the Lord, next Lord's Day is 45 and on continuing are about prayer. We need to pray to our Father and ask Him for His help so that our desires would be transformed into righteousness and holiness again. He poured out His Spirit to make our dead will come alive. He has poured out His Spirit to transform our desires to want what God wants, to treasure what God holds precious, so that with Him dwelling with us, with His Spirit promising also to work in our hearts, we can then strive to the goal of perfection. It is possible, beloved. No more under the power and tyranny of evil and sinful desires, but committed through faith into the Word of God, trusting His Word, following His Word, being obedient in His Word. And God will give joy, and He will give peace because He has promised to do that. Until, beloved, we reach the goal of perfection. The goal of perfection where there will be no more sinful desires, only desires for our Father in heaven. That will be heavenly joy and peace. And so God is bringing His children, bringing His church, and He promises to bring you, beloved, so that you would know Him, to learn Him, and to live with Him once again. Lord's Day 3, in eternal blessedness. And He has done that through the work of the Son by redemption. And He's done that through the work, and He's doing that through the work of the Spirit in renewing. So trust in Him and walk with Him as He leads you into the goal of perfection. Amen.